We've been hearing a lot about Aedes aegypti. That's the name of the mosquito species that carries Zika. But these mosquitoes were wreaking havoc on humanity long before Zika, spreading other diseases like dengue or yellow fever. One man set out to eradicate this deadly insect 80 years ago, and he became obsessed with this mission. Reporter Jake J. Smith brings us the story of epidemiologist and global public health crusader Fred Soper.
Fred Soper is living in Rio de Janeiro when the outbreak hits.
June 5th, 1928. Newspapers in North have reported 70 cases in Rio. June 14th, wild rumors are heard that Bahia is full of yellow fever.
No one had seen it coming, says science historian Nancy Lee Stepan.
That was a total surprise. The Brazilians had a very good record, actually, of controlling yellow fever.
And in Soper's opinion, the outbreak could have been prevented. Brazil's health department hadn't been vigilant enough about monitoring yellow fever, he thinks. It was a failure of administration. But if there's one thing Fred Soper can do, it's administrate. He just spent 7 years organizing health campaigns in Brazil and Paraguay, fighting hookworm disease with the Rockefeller Foundation. And he didn't get the nickname the Commander for nothing.
He had a very upright bearing, a mustache. He looked rather like a soldier. He conducted himself rather like not just a soldier, I would say, but a general.
Shortly after the outbreak, Brazil's yellow fever service is reorganized under Soper's command. And to him, the path forward is clear. With hard work and organization, he thinks that he can eradicate yellow fever for good. He just needs to figure out how. It's common knowledge that the disease is carried by the Aedes aegypti mosquito. And there are brigades of inspectors who go around patrolling for these bugs. So, for 3 months, Soper follows these inspectors all around the northeast of Brazil, going from house to house, destroying the mosquito's breeding places, keeping meticulous records. And this, Soper comes to think, is how you eradicate a disease. Soon, he sends brigades to do the same thing all across Brazil.
He had this idea of the perfection of public health administration, that you could achieve your goals if you were completely perfect in everything that you did. And since the world is not perfect, things did go wrong.
Things promptly go wrong. For a long time, everyone had thought that yellow fever could only exist in mosquitoes or in humans. But a few years after the outbreak, they discovered that monkeys living in rainforests can also harbor yellow fever. Which means the only way to truly eradicate the disease would be to exterminate all the monkeys, which no one is eager to do. This puts a kink in Soper's plan. Up until now, eradicating the disease, yellow fever, has been his main goal. With that no longer possible, he starts to change his focus. It was an idea that had been stirring in his mind for years.
April 13th, 1927. Some thoughts that came to me this morning.
Maybe he can't eradicate yellow fever, but...
Is it possible to exterminate Aedes aegypti in limited control areas?
What if instead he eradicated the mosquito that causes it?
It seems to me to be worth investigation.
It seems paradoxical in a way, because you give up the eradication of a disease and you transfer your ideas of eradication to the insect. Insects are extremely difficult animals to think of eradicating. They are some of the most successful animals in the world.
That's because they're small and good at adapting. Mosquitoes, for example, have been around since the Jurassic period and are found on every continent but Antarctica. Still, Soper's idea isn't totally off the wall. It's based on the fact that in a city like Rio de Janeiro, if you can get to the point where 5% of houses or less have these mosquitoes, that'll be enough to prevent yellow fever from spreading. But then that scientific fact gets distorted through Soper's perfectionist lens. He starts to realize if you do a good enough job to kill 95% of mosquitoes, you're going to end up killing 100% of mosquitoes. So why not just aim for complete success?
And then he became converted to the idea, well, we could eradicate this mosquito. And if we did that, we would no longer have yellow fever epidemics at all.
Now let's be clear, there are other ways to control yellow fever, and Soper is choosing a really ambitious, really difficult path. There's a world of difference between controlling a disease and eradicating a species from a country of 3 million square miles, like Brazil. Disease experts mock him for this. Insect experts remind him that those last 5% of mosquitoes will be nearly impossible to find. Even the Rockefeller Foundation, who he works for, thinks that eradicating a mosquito isn't what they came here to do. none of which matters to Fred Soper.
He was very, very convinced that he had the answer.
The Aegypti mosquito was now the enemy rather than yellow fever. The eradication of Aegypti would prevent not only yellow fever, but also dengue and any other Aegypti-transmitted disease.
And this plan soon receives government sanction. In October 1930, shortly after Soper takes over the National Yellow Fever Program, there's a revolution in Brazil. Getúlio Vargas overthrows the elected government in a coup.
He was an authoritarian, often called the Mussolini of Brazil.
Soper quickly calls a meeting with this new leader, and they hit it off. Vargas gives Soper permission to do whatever he needs to do. And this is when Soper's dream of eradication starts to look feasible. Now, all over the country, his mosquito brigades are allowed to fumigate people's houses with insecticide. If they find mosquitoes breeding in a house, they get to impose fines on the owners. When someone in a suspect area dies of unknown causes, Soper sends a worker to the funeral where they cut out a chunk of the deceased person's liver to be biopsied, with or without the family's permission. At one point, a newspaper calls this new set of laws draconian, and one of Soper's colleagues suggests that the government should censor such criticism.
But I pointed out that it was draconian, and the fact should be well known before the service started to enforce it.
And all of this seems to work.
By 1940, six states and the city of Rio de Janeiro were on the eradicated list.
Now, at this point, they've actually developed a vaccine for yellow fever. But Soper still insists that mosquito eradication is the way to get rid of the disease in the long term. And in his defense, that seemingly impossible goal is looking more and more likely every year.
The first serious proposal that I leave Brazil had come shortly after the attack on Pearl Harbor.
World War II begins, and the U.S. Army calls on Soper for his expertise. So, with his eradication campaign in Brazil firmly on the right track, Soper leaves. He spends the next 4 years fighting malaria in Egypt, preventing typhus in Italy, experimenting with the use of DDT. He saves millions of lives. But through all of this, eradicating Aedes aegypti remains in the back of his mind, this goal that's just within reach. After the war, Soper is appointed the director of the Pan American Sanitary Bureau, and he sees his chance to make eradication happen not just in Brazil, but across the American continent.
And he sets this in motion and literally crisscrosses the Americas, trying to make governments commit themselves to achieving this end.
He succeeds. Country after country sets up programs like the one he'd been running in Brazil. After 10 years, in 1958, for the first time ever, the WHO certifies entire countries free of Aedes aegypti. There's Brazil and Bolivia and Belize.
The Canal Zone, Ecuador, French Guiana.
Nicaragua, Panama.
Paraguay, Peru, Uruguay.
After this, even more countries sign on. And Soper becomes the godfather of eradication. This crazy idea of his is actually catching on. He lectures to medical students and health workers, saying things like,
"Administration is the essence of eradication."
And,
"He who rides the tiger may not dismount, so long as the tiger lives."
Because even as the concept of eradication is spreading across the continent, Soper is terrified that it's all going to come crashing down, as he should be.
When you get to a very low rate, when the mosquito becomes almost invisible, is precisely when public health agencies tend to give up. And as a consequence, almost inevitably, the mosquito comes back.
August 22nd, 1967. Dear Paolo, the most immediate reason for this note is the news of the reinfestation of Belém do Pará with Aedes aegypti. It is especially important that Brazil move immediately.
By 1967, Soper is very shocked to discover that a large area of northeastern Amazon is infected by the insect. And by that time, Brazil had lost its certification as free of Aedes aegypti. So it had got it, and then it had lost it.
What happened? Once these countries were certified aegypti free, it was hard to convince their leaders to keep dedicating time and money to these programs. Plus, it's hard to say today whether they were ever truly eradicated in the first place. In other words, Soper's detractors had been proven right. And the public health community, which had recently made a hero out of Soper, starts to turn against him. The next year, the director of the CDC publishes a lecture questioning whether the eradication of Aedes aegypti, Soper's holy grail, is still worth pursuing. He points out that it hasn't worked, that they have vaccines against yellow fever, and can they really keep asking these small, poor countries in Central America to pour money into eradication if there are better, cheaper options? Soper responds in turn.
I cannot remain silent in the face of these surprising proposals.
And he doubles down on his failed strategy. Stay the course, he says. We've been free of yellow fever for so long.
The long-term continuation of this freedom must be based on the recognition of Aedes aegypti as the enemy to be feared.
It's a refrain he'll continue repeating for another 9 years, to increasingly deaf ears, as country after country disbands its eradication program. In 1977, Fred Soper dies in Wichita, Kansas, not far from his birthplace. No longer a laughingstock, no longer a hero, but somewhere in between.
This is the pest that's causing the Zika virus problems.
There's no vaccine against the Zika virus, so controlling it comes down to controlling the mosquito that carries the virus.
We have created a strain of Aedes aegypti, which is the mosquito that spreads dengue and Zika virus. We release males into the environment, and when those males mate with females, the offspring inherit the gene and they die.
Nowadays, it's awfully tempting to say that Fred Soper knew something we didn't, like that Aedes aegypti wasn't done with us.
Of course, he was quite wrong in one very important regard, is you can't eradicate. He could not eradicate an insect.
That's science historian Nancy Lee Stepan again.
So he has not been vindicated in his eradicationist goals. Is his determination, his conviction of the importance of getting the details right and so on, has that been confirmed? Yes, I think in many respects it has been. It takes a certain kind of person to do that work well, and he did it well.
Eradication seems like such a sleek, perfect solution. New technologies like genetically engineered mosquitoes threaten to make Sopers out of all of us. The question is, which Soper will we become? The commander, who is diligent administrating saved countless lives? Or the authoritarian, whose devotion to an idea blurred his good sense? In the age of Zika, we may find out soon enough. For The Pulse, I'm Jake J. Smith.